Like this? Or is it more like that? I'm looking at you.
How do you do that?
Look, Arla. You look at me when I talk to you. Have you ever known someone who's like that?
Yeah. It's just like you're looking around like, what's up?
That's an email.
How do you do that, man?
It's pretty impressive. What you have to do, you... Yeah, if someone hits you on the back, you'll stay that way. So what you do is look off to the side, and now concentrate on looking here and here at the same time.
I can't do that.
Wow, wow.
I can't cross my eyes.
I have it.
That's so crazy.
All right, so that's strabismus. Diplopia is double vision. Now, everyone will have some degree of diplopia just because that's the way our eyes work. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at your finger, focus on your finger. Now, how many of me are there?
Two.
Diplopia. Now, look at me. How many fingers do you see?
One.
Look at me. Look at me, though. Focus on me. How many fingers are there?
Two.
There should be two. Try this one. Try this one. Hold your hands like this. Now, look at me. What do you see floating in the middle? There should be like a finger that is like double-sided.
Yeah.
All right. The reason for that is your eyes can only focus either far or close. They can't do both at the same time. So if you're looking at something far away, things up close will be double. If you're looking up close, things far away will be double. That's not diplopia. Diplopia is when you can't focus on something and make that go away. So you're focusing on someone far away and you're still seeing too. That's diplopia. Yeah, those are superimposed dots that if you can focus at a certain focal length, it'll appear like there's a three-dimensional object. So what you're doing is you're fooling your eyes into focusing at a distance. Like if you focus on the paper, all you're going to see is nothing. You have to focus like beyond it, and then you'll see. Yeah. You must see beyond the matrix. Just remember, there is no spoon. Ask about redness or swelling. Past history of ocular problems, glaucoma. Now, we've mentioned glaucoma in the past. What is glaucoma? No. Yeah. Say your thing again. Pressure in the eye. Now, your eye is hollow. Inside your eye, it's filled with fluid called vitreous fluid. Now, if there's an increase in the amount of vitreous fluid, you're going to begin to have eye problems. And what will happen is your peripheral vision will start going away. So hold your hands out like this and wiggle your fingers. Look straight ahead. Can you see you're wiggling? Not behind you, like here. Can you see your wiggling fingers? Now, in a person with glaucoma, they wouldn't be able to see that. They might be so far that they can't see it until it's about here. And so their peripheral vision has gone away.
Yes.
Okay. But it's more dangerous. It's not the only thing, but it's the major one. Yeah. Right. It's not the only cause, but it is the major cause. All right, so you're going to ask about glasses or contact lenses, self-care. What kind of self-care can someone do for their eyes? Eye drops. What else? Okay, changing how often they change their contact lenses. What else? There are some eye exercises you can do. I had a friend in college who was on the rifle team, and he would do this exercise every day. He'd put a patch on. And he'd keep both eyes open, and he'd like do this, like, I think where he'd turn around, and supposedly he was training his eyes to work more independently. I don't know if it works or not. But, yeah, there are exercises one can do, and there's also nutritional supplements you can take for your eyes. Sure, carrots. Any medications that might affect eyes? What's the major medication we've talked about that can affect eyes?
That one.
That one, yes. Well, okay, we have talked about several drugs that can cause mydriasis and meiosis. What drugs would cause meiosis? There are so many. There's only really two big ones. What? Parasympathetic medications like? What are the two drug classes that enhance acetylcholine? Cholinesterase inhibitors and muscarinics.
Yeah.
All right. So anticholinergic or cholinesterase inhibitors could do it. What else could do it? Opioids. Someone knows their drug. Need. They're itching at the site they've been injecting themselves.
At the site that they inject. Oh, see, I didn't get that.
Yeah, you don't rub. You put ice on it. That makes it better.
This is putting ice.
Yeah. No, that was the person rubbing. Addicts are notorious for not taking the best care of themselves.
So they rub that.
Yes, exactly. They scratch and they don't. All right. So, what causes mydriasis? What two big drug classes? Say again. Anticholinergics and alpha 1 agonists. All right. Now, aside from those things, what can cause permanent changes to the eye? What drug class? Cataracts it causes. What drug do we say has, like, it's a very dirty drug, it's very bad, you shouldn't use it for long periods of time? Okay, well, propoxyphene does have a lot of side effects, but not cataracts. Long-term side effects. Protein metabolism, fat metabolism. Causes osteoporosis. Prednisone, steroids. Steroids can cause cataracts. And ask about any vision loss. It's not working. I break it. Oh. All right.
Wow, that's really
magic. Okay, well, let's be done for that. Let's be done for that. Let's be done with that for now. And we'll go into the lab and do this thing. But before we do that, take a look at Mr. Head. Mr. Potato Head. Yes. All right. So how many areas of lymph nodes do you see here? I have 1 7 and I have 1 10. Who says 10? All right, 10 is correct. So what I want you to just say is 3 3 3 1.
3 3 3 1.
All right, so the first three is going to be a lateral move. So you're going to start in front of the ear. Everyone put your hands up. In front of the ear, behind the ear, back of the head. So we call those preauricular, postauricular, occipital. So our first three is lateral. Starting in front of the ear, behind the ear, back of the head. Then our next three is going to be under the jaw. So you're going to come, before you are up here in front of the ear, you're going to slide down just behind the jaw. Then we're going to go under the chin here, and then under the chin itself. So we call these tonsillar, submandibular, submental. Use 8. Tonsillar, submandibular, submental. All right, then the last three are cervical. And we're going to have posterior, superficial, and deep. So say, super and deep. Now, the big question that's burning all of your minds at this exact moment is posterior to what? So go ahead, say it. Posterior to what? Posterior to this muscle right here. What's this muscle right here called? Sternocleidomastoid. So what we're going to do is we're going to start in the back of that, and we're going to travel up and down the neck. Then we're going to do on the sternocleidomastoid, up and down, and then we're going to do in front of the sternocleidomastoid. Yeah. So behind, on, and in front, kind of in the sternocleidomastoid. The very last one is the supraclavicular. So find your clavicle just above the clavicle. So you have 3, 3, 3 plus one. So go ahead and tell me what they are. So what's the first three?
Posterior,
where do we start? Front, so that's called preauricular. Posturicular, occipital. All right, let's do that again. Preauricular, posturicular, occipital. The next three, tonsillar, submandibular, submental. So remember, tonsillar is behind the jaw. So find where your jaw has the angle. We call this the angle of the mandible. So above that angle, behind it, that's where we're looking for tonsillar. Now come below the angle and in a little bit. That's where we find submandibular. And then submental under the chin. So say those again. Tonsillar, submandibular, submental. Then it's our last three. Posterior cervical, superficial cervical, deep cervical. And then what's our last one? Supraclavicular. The word supra means above.
So
we are feeling for lymph nodes. You're feeling for enlarged lymph nodes. So, Arla brings up a very, very good question. What should a normal lymph node feel like? Okay. Now, a lot of the lymph nodes ordinarily are going to be non-palpable. But if one is palpable, what should it feel like? Large or small? Small. Should it feel hard or soft? Soft. Should it be mobile or fixed? Mobile. It should be able to slide around. And should it be painful or non-painful?
Non-painful.
All right, so what would an infected gland feel like? Kind of the opposite. So it would be large. It would be hard. It would hurt when you push on it. And it may or may not be fixed or mobile. Just depends. Now, what would a cancer feel like typically? Or a tumor? Well, it's going to be larger. Is it going to be softer or harder?
Harder.
Is it going to be fixed or mobile? Fixed. Will it be tender or non-tender?
Non-tender.
Most cancers do not hurt. All right, that was beautiful. All right, let's give this one more chance to see if it'll work. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, but that shouldn't affect this. All right. Back to the eye. Kind of like Back to the Future. All right, so for the eye, we will do visual acuity. Have we learned how to do that yesterday? Yes. We can test visual fields. We'll show you how to do that tomorrow. Extraocular muscles. Did we do that yesterday? Yes, we did diagnostic positions. Tomorrow we'll learn how to do what we call the corneal light reflex.
Are we not learning any of it today?
Not today. We will inspect the external structures, the general, the eyebrows, and the eyelids, and lashes. Now, here's the fun word right there. Sounds like someone's hawking up a loogie. Ptosis. So, have you ever noticed some people look a little shifty-eyed? and their eye kind of like droops downwards, their eyelid. That's ptosis. Now, like a lazy eye. It's actually, lazy eye is different. Lazy eye is really strabismus, but it's a lazy lid. It's the lid itself, not the eye. Yeah, that one leg hanging down is called ptosis.
Cool.
So, it's almost impossible for people to fake ptosis. So, try and have your lid hang down. What do you end up doing?
Closing the lid.
Both of them close together. So, ordinarily... Yeah, ordinarily, the top and the bottom lid close together. But in ptosis, what happens is the top lid just kind of hangs down. It's a sign of neurological issues. If someone's had it all their life, usually not a big deal. But if it's new, that could be a sign of a stroke or other neurological problem. All right, the eyeball itself, you're going to look at the sclera and the conjunctiva. You're going to look at the lacrimal sacs. You can actually palpate the lacrimal apparatus, see if any goo squishes out, cornea and lens, and then we're going to look at the iris and pupil. We did this yesterday. Pupils equal round, react to light, and accommodation. And then you can actually look inside the eye with an ophthalmoscope. We'll show you a little. We'll show you how to do it, but you're not going to be required to do it very much on your final head to toe. Yes, people can get ophthalmic herpes. Not good. It can happen to babies who, So, if a mother has her genital herpes, typically we'll do a C-section so the baby doesn't slide through that herpes canal and smear it all over their face.
Hey.
I'm not the one who gave her herpes.
Wow. I could have lived my life without
that. All right. Let's stop here. We'll do the ear tomorrow. Let's go to the lab.